You are listening to WGXC 90.9 FM and online at WGXC.org. Music for open ears. This is Mike Amari of the program Local Waves, and you're about to hear my conversation with Matthew O'Neill of Panther Mountain Sound. He's a local musician, has created this nonprofit record label that supports indigenous music, and is also just a big supporter of indigeneity and benefiting the local indigenous populations. So we're going to get into all of that, and at the end of our chat you'll hear one of Matthew's songs, Akwesasne, which is the name of one of the indigenous groups that he works with. This was recorded live at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, New York. You can join us once a month for these free gatherings where we do these live tapings, or check out the archive at WGXC.org under Local Waves in Conversation. Local Waves airs every Friday night at 8 p.m., which is focused on new and local music in the Hudson Valley and surrounding areas. All right, enjoy our talk. Matthew has a show on GXC, first of all.
So Panther Mountain Sound, it's called, yes.
And does a lot of cool stuff. I've known you for a while, but you're a great musician, songwriter, band leader. And then you also have this whole other side, which is Panther Mountain Sound, which is basically a record label where you are releasing and highlighting and platforming indigenous music in various ways. So we're going to talk about all that tonight. I guess the first thing I always like to start with is, like, did you grow up in the Hudson Valley? How did you end up in the Hudson Valley? Like, where? What's your story getting in this?
It was quite a journey getting
mountains
here.
Up here.
I mean, I was born in Ontario and raised outside of Philly. So definitely like an Easter Woodlands ocean upbringing. But after a couple years of school, I couldn't deal with the culture anymore, so I beelined it for like the wilderness out west. I stopped at Rosebud Reservation for a few months, and then I lived out of a tent in the National Forest for a few years, and then I was ready to come back in the society. I moved to California, so I was out west for a long time looking for a place. I always felt like, you know, my connection to the land and bringing that to the community was going to be how I served through music. So I was looking for the right place, right community. And I was out there for years. And then I came here. And I was driving around. The moment I got to the Catskills, I was like, this is the place I've been looking for the last six, seven years.
Do you remember what it was that brought
you? It
was
a feeling. I was living on like this. My cousin was renting like a 500-acre farm up near the border of, in between Saratoga Springs and Vermont. And I was visiting him and living in his barn. I set up a studio in his barn. And I would take day trips just looking around. And I came down here and I was just felt it immediately. And so that was it. I've been here since 2003.
Wow.
Yeah. And just really committed to this place and how generative it is. I've been really happy since.
And just talking about your music for a second, how did that develop? It comes from a very sort of Americana rock and roll sort of place, but it has this sort of like spiritual element that is sort of different. Like how'd you start making music? Tell us about that.
I mean, we started out in the basement. Neil Young, Sonic Youth, ninth grade, first concert, that was like the mode. But I mean, I had these, I did big experiences as a kid, well, like young teen, where I had these basically like spiritual awakening experiences where I was just, things were opening up to me in such an enormous way that the only way I could kind of like engage with this overwhelming feeling and offer thanks and just kind of share that was through music. So it was like basically what made me really commit to music was this spiritual awareness that I had, you know, very grounded in my relationship to the earth. But like, I couldn't figure out how else to express it. So that's what got me playing. So that's true. That's always been the thing. And then I definitely started out with that kind of, you know, the Philly, you know, but musically coming from, like that nexus of all that great songwriting and stuff. And then like kind of slowly through time, more embracing more like of this purely experimental types of music making.
Yeah, I remember I think it was the first time that we met and that I saw you play years ago. I was really struck by you were playing solo and a sort of, you know, rootsy Americana sort of way, but you were also using your amplifier and feedback as part of that. And so that juxtaposition just, you know, when you say Neil Young and Sonic Youth, it's like, okay, got it.
The feedback thing is where it's at for me.
Yeah. So if people are interested in Matthew's music, there's Matthew/O'Neill.com, and obviously it's on Bandcamp and all the streaming places.
There's a new electroacoustic chamber funk EP coming out in a few weeks, so stay tuned.
Yeah, I love, like, you play around with a lot of different genres and stuff. And actually on November 23rd, you'll be doing the Sunday Night Swim here at Avalon in Catskill, which is a monthly ambient series. So I want to give that a shout out. But the other side of what you do is Panther Mountain Sound. Mm-hmm. Is it just Panther Mountain or Panther Mountain Sound?
It's Panther Mountain.
Okay, Panther Mountain. And would you call it a record label? Like, how would you describe it?
It is a record label, but it's more of just a project, a cultural restoration project centered on indigeneity.
Yeah.
So it's inclusive to any kind of art form. Mm-hmm. At this point, it started out as a label because that's like the number one thing, like I was saying about these experiences I had, like traditionally for thousands and thousands of years, there's a responsibility to live in right relationship with the earth. And the number one way to do that across cultures everywhere is through music. Offer thanks through music. So this feeling like this responsibility to restore like the central role of music and decolonize musical practice is what kind of initiated me doing this thing from a personal perspective, but also just as a way of something that needs to be done. So
was there a moment that brought you into that interest, or was it something sort of
over time? I was on a walk where most of my moments happen. Yeah. And it was like, that's always what my music's been about, but it's like it's got to be more than just your music. Like, you could, there's so much more you can do. You have so much more capacity to do other things and be of service to community in other ways. And like, we need to get we need to get going on this. You know, this is something that needs to happen. Who's doing it? I don't see anybody doing it nearby. So like, I have to do it.
Well, I want to talk about that because, you know, I think in recent years, especially, it's been a little, I'll say, trendy for like indie labels to sign or release works by indigenous artists, but many of them are still like very beholden to the capitalist system. And so when that album doesn't perform well or whatever, that artist is essentially dropped from the label, and it's treated kind of like a moment or a genre or a scene rather than like something that's been around for a long time and, you know, continues to be made and just doesn't really have as much of a platform. So there are some exceptions to that for sure. But, you know, I was wondering, like, how much do you think about stuff like that when you're starting to, you know, work with some of these artists that you're putting out? Like, what is that relationship like when you, you know, start working with someone and say, we're going to put this out?
Well, it comes through in different ways, but really the value system is what unifies everything. And that has to do with embodying a relationality, a reverence for life, an approach to life that is based on these values of respect and relationality and reverence. So you're not in it to get a nice house. And I mean, you know, it's about more than yourself. And it's like some of the artists, it's like they're it's contemporary music. They're situated like the Diné artists. They're living a life where their situatedness is now. It's contemporary, and this is how they encounter the world. But the point is to disrupt the status quo, which is indie rock is just as guilty as any other. And this isn't what that is. This is anything from ancestral music to like R&B hip hop. It doesn't matter. What matters is the value system that's in place and your intention for making music and who you're doing it for and why and what's coming through and fulfilling these responsibilities to be in relationality with, you know, the world.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the through line.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really awesome that like this label is centered on indigenous music and not centered on something else and sort of like lumping indigenous music into it.
It's kind of the reverse.
Yeah.
Because what I'm interested in doing is pushing the envelope the other way. Like, it's centered in indigeneity. You know, I firmly believe in, you know, indigenous women-led solutions to all our problems. And to support that comes in many different ways. And that's the center. But, like, it's also inclusive. Like, there's a little bit of pushing back against, well, like there's a lot of lateral violence out there with all this stuff. And it has to do more about like epistemological justice, like embracing different ways of being in the world, seeing the world. Music is not just what we think music is. Music isn't just entertainment. Music isn't just, you know, it's so much more. Like all these cultures, the songs and the stories embody thousands and thousands of years of knowledge, cultural knowledge, wisdom, and like, yeah. So, see, and well, it's important. Like, these are the PhDs of the culture. These aren't like, this is stuff. It's necessary for us to restore our culture and all cultures, and to keep multicultural flourishing happening by empowering music to be what it's supposed to be. And nothing against having entertaining music, but we need to recenter music as a really important part of creating positive futures, you know, that are in harmony with all life.
Yeah. One of the releases that you did is this like ancestral indigenous music from Colombia, the music for the mothers, like how, which is, you know, it really was striking the first time I heard that, because it sort of embodies what you're talking about, which is like, It's almost like a field recording style where it's like you're just in the corner of a room where this music is happening, and it's very, it's whatever the opposite of pretentious is. It's like, you know, how did that happen? Like, did you make those recordings happen, or did someone else?
I recorded those with Nick Kinsey. These things happen in weird ways. I mean, it's a lot of it's just through listening and prayer or just like being open. But there was the day that I was like, I need to do a label. And then there was 3 weeks later, I was at the Dutch church and these Kogi people were coming through doing exactly what I was talking about. Like this, they have a song for everything. You have to offer your thanks. It's called Pagamento. You have to maintain the culture, you have to give thanks to the water, you have to sing to the corn, you have to, you know, there's all this stuff, it's right there. So they came through, I was just like, okay. And I kind of, you know, you vibe with them. You have to develop relationships. It's not like, oh, yeah, I heard about this person over there and I'm going to call them on the phone and let's make a record. Like, years of developing relationships, because that's, again, what it's about, is like relationships. So that was my first encounter with them. And then they're called the Mamos, is they're like the spiritual elders, and they're constantly like checking in with like other dimensions about what they should do. And like, so that whole recording wasn't set in stone until record was being pushed play that day. And it was like 3 years in the making. I hung out with them. We all got along really well. And it's the first time that music's ever been put out on record too.
So it was kind of fortuitous that they were coming through the area in Kingston
in the way they did, and haven't since.
Yeah. So Panther Mountain, if people out there are interested, panthermountain.io, and again, Bandcamp, all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's on streaming.
And put the word out too. I mean, again, if it's like, if anybody has ideas for projects that, you know, if their work is embodied,
there's an email on there to reach out if anyone is interested or wants to connect. the Earth Surface People record you just put out is great, and talk about, like, you know, the modern sort of hip hop influenced music. Hot Lolly, who we did a show with in Saugerties a couple years ago. Another great sort of Lou Reed sort of singer-songwriter vibe.
Very idiosyncratic.
And then that Music for the Mothers release we were just talking about. And you have one coming up with Bear Fox, which leads us into the Akwesasne Freedom School, which is a school in northern New York near the border with Canada that is one of the only schools in the Northeast that's preserving their indigenous language and cultures. And so you, for how many years now, have been putting on a fundraising concert event down here in the Hudson Valley that benefits that school.
Right. We just did the fourth annual.
Yeah. So Bear Fox is a big part of that.
She's the leader of the Akwesasne Woman Singers. She's really important in the culture. Again, with restoring traditional Mohawk culture, there's songs for all the ceremonies, and certain ceremonies, songs were lost, and she wrote new ones. So this project tells a story about her coming up through. There's a big flourishing, a re-empowering of the culture in the late 70s, and her brothers were really fundamental in bringing back traditional Mohawk culture. So she grew up in it, but these songs that she's written are used in, like, the moon ceremony and these different ceremonies that are really important for the community there, and just really kind of exemplify. So the project has, like, stories behind the writing and actual stories. They're all field recordings I did up in Akwesasne, and the school. We did most of them at the school. The school's a Mohawk language immersion school, which is, you know, again, like, language comes from the land. Language is the music. Language embodies a way of seeing and being in the world. So they, against the law of the state, started this school 40 years ago.
They have no funding from, you know, the state government through grants, that type of thing.
Yeah, so it's amazing what they're doing up there, and every year it just gets better and better. So just,
well, I, you know, applaud you for the work that you do with them and with Panther Mountain. I guess one thing I'm thinking about is, if you go back like 30, 40 years, Pete Seeger was doing fundraisers for Akwesasne in Albany, I guess it wasn't the school, but just for their community. And I'm just thinking about, like, the idea of, like, folk songs and indigenous music, and, like, are they the same thing, do you think? Like,
no.
Like, how do you see the parsing of the two?
Well, I mean, folk songs is a really wide, I don't know, everyone has their own
definition. Guess I'm thinking in that Pete Seeger protest.
It was a great, I think that's really important what they were doing with those, like, you know, there, where I live used to be a leftist music camp where the kids came and learned, like, socialist songs from Pete Seeger and whatnot. And I think, you know, that was an important thing. It's still coming from an Anglo. That world is very Anglo. Mm-hmm. So even as, like, a person of Irish ancestry, traditional Irish music and traditional Pete Seeger music, they don't sound the same. There's some crossover. But what I like about... What I like is the other stuff, because we all know that, and that stuff's great. I'm not putting it down, but it's different in that, from a musical perspective, it's different because it comes from a different relationship to the land, and the music comes through the land, and each place has its own body of knowledge that comes through the music. And so all this music is place-based, and I think it's important to be responding to things that are happening in the culture through folk songs, but in terms of the musicality of it, I mean, there's a blend. There's probably some folk people out there going to be calling you up tomorrow being like, what the hell is that guy talking about? But there's a lot of influences. I mean, you can hear a lot of influences, and especially like the 60s Greenwich Village of, like, multiculturalism, but not as much as I would like to hear. Mm-hmm. So, but that was Pete's way. I mean, it was his authentic voice. So you got to go with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much for chatting.
Thanks for having
this
me.
This has been Matthew O'Neill, local musician, Panther Mountain sound leader, and just a big supporter of Indigenous music and art. So thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Gathering multitudes while the